Good evening, everyone. As we begin the penitential, reflective, more somber season of Lent, we're happy for sundown Saturday through Sunday, where we still have our festival themes of the resurrection. So not quite as wild as usual in worship, but we do have that hint of the resurrection that we'll celebrate tonight also in our worship services this whole weekend. On the pink sheet entitled Victory, just a reminder that the musical notes are found in the hymnal in front of you, beginning with the opening hymn. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let us now make confession of our sins to God, our Heavenly Father. Merciful Father, our Lord and King, we are sinful people. We have inherited original sin from our first parents who disobeyed you in Eden. We are by nature sinful and unclean. In our daily lives, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We sincerely repent of our sins and humbly ask your grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. By the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, sanctify us that each day we grow in righteousness and godly living to the glory of your holy name. God is gracious and forgiving. He has shown his merciful power in ways that renew, restore, and heal. To those who come to him with repentant and contrite hearts, our Lord says, "Fear not," and promises pardon, life, and salvation. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Almighty God, your Son was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. Come quickly to help us who, because of our weaknesses, are assaulted by many temptations. Give each one of us strength and victory through Jesus Christ the Conqueror, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this evening is from Genesis, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat any of the tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may not eat any of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For night and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you gave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
The epistle reading is from Romans, beginning at the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation of all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. In Adam we have all been one huge rebellious man. We all have fled that evening voice that sought us as we ran. We fled the lost our brother too, each singly sought and claimed his own, each man his brother slew. But thy strong love it sought us still, and sent thine only Son, that we might hear his shepherd's voice, and hearing him be one. O thou who, when we love thee not, didst love and save us all, thou great good shepherd of mankind, oh, hear us when we call. Send us thy Spirit, teach us truth, thou Son, oh, set us free from fancied wisdom, self-sought ways, to make us one in thee. Then shall our song united rise to thine eternal throne, where with the Father evermore and Spirit thou art one.
O Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Little Willie was caught by his mother with his hand in the cookie jar. And when she asked him what he was doing, he said, "Resisting temptation." Reminds me of another story I heard about some young men, a little bit older than Willie, who also had trouble resisting temptation. They had trouble attending morning classes at their high school. They all had a case of spring fever. And so one morning after skipping class, they came into the classroom after lunchtime and they told the teacher that they had a flat tire. They were surprised that she didn't give them any lecture or anything, just smiled and said, "Well, you missed a quiz this morning, so please take a seat and a piece of paper and a pencil out." And the first question is, which tire was flat? We all struggle with temptation, and that's why every year we begin the Lenten season with the epic story of Jesus in the desert, tempted by the devil. Whenever I think of this theme, I think of Flip Wilson. Some of you are old enough to remember him, right? And his character, Geraldine, said, "The devil made me do it." It's a good out, but it's not an ultimate out, is it? Because we also have resident in us our own devils, the sinful flesh that inhabits us and tempts us to, well, you know the story. And so these three temptations are epic also for us. I heard a long time ago in a sermon I never forgot, they say a good sermon you never forget is short and pointed. And the sermon was on temptation, and it was these three temptations. And it said, "Without bread, you're dead. Without clout, you're out. And without fame, you're lame." Amen. No. You've all played the game Simon Says, right? The devil plays the game with Jesus, Satan Says. And you know you can't do what Simon says, unless Simon says, blah, blah, blah. Satan says, "Turn these stones into bread." Remember what Jesus did? Does the same thing all three times. It is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Do you know how famished you would be if you didn't have the Word of God? If all you had to eat in life was food that perishes? Oh, don't sell yourself so short. We might not be able to memorize every passage or to recite them when we need them, but it's in us, isn't it? Satan says, "Throw yourself down from the temple top, and God's angels will bear you up." Jesus doesn't take the bait again. He says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And we don't either, right? We're not so crass, but how many of you prayed when you got up this morning, "Lord, keep me safe"? How many of you prayed when you got in your car, "Lord, keep me safe"? We just kind of take it for granted, don't we? And we're not going to throw ourselves out in the middle of the street and ask God to protect us. But in many ways, the temptation is to live like the first temptation, that our safety is just something we take for granted, right? How many of God's angels were around us, are around us, each and every day protecting us? Satan says, I will give you Russia, all the kingdoms of the world. Russia seems to be the preeminent one nowadays, doesn't it? If you will only fall down and worship me. And Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. I found a devotional in preparation for the sermon this week, and I really like it because it's something I really hadn't thought about very much, and especially Lent, which is so different than the rest of our lives and the rest of the world. It's called No Machismo. It's written by a lady by the name of Debbie Blue. She said, one very cool thing about the church is that we have this season where we look at death. We started out by smearing ashes on our foreheads and remembering we are dust and will return to dust. It creates a different vibe than you get from watching American Idol. It's a nice counter-narrative to the infinite narratives that suggest if you do the right thing, take fish oil, pose cleverly, exercise in strenuous short outbursts, buy hot shoes, do something outrageous, eat dog cockroaches if you have to on TV, you can avoid insignificance, possibly aging, maybe even death. We set aside a season to contemplate what death is, if it has power, how it has power, and what it means that our founding narratives are about a God that becomes human, lives a short, fairly inglorious life, and then suffers a humiliating and painful death. The Eastern Orthodox Church refers to Lent as the season of bright sadness. Hadn't heard that one before. Bright sadness. That seems like a good season to have in a culture that insists on happiness, perhaps fake happiness, perhaps plastic happiness, perhaps blind happiness. It doesn't matter. Just please don't spoil the good mood. In the lectionary, the season begins with the story of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. We've just heard it. Like Moses on Mount Sinai, after which he faces the devil. The devil strokes Jesus' ego, or maybe challenges it. You're like a god, man. Do something spectacular. Throw yourself down. Lift yourself up. Make a little magic, brother. Take the challenge. Matthew is writing in the context of the Roman Empire, and the Caesars certainly knew how to make a little magic and lift themselves up and gain the approval of the masses and rise to power. Bread and circuses, spectacle, power, and free food. And they certainly made themselves significant in a world-altering way. Jesus refuses the whole bread and circuses approach. He won't take power. He won't make magic bread. Well, Holy Communion, there's that, right? He won't call the angels in for drama. The central figure of our faith at this central moment in his ministry refuses the will to power. Matthew is probably telling this story, recognizing what it looks like juxtaposed with the Caesars. Jesus has none of the machismo that the Romans perfect. And I found a poem that I want to share with you too. Actually, two poems. The first one is called Temptation in the Wired Wilderness. Our Lord spent 40 days and 40 nights resisting Satan in the wilderness. We picture barren rocks and sand. We might add in a scrubby tree or two. I guess that's where temptation ought to come, so we can see it from at least a mile away and be prepared with Bibles, church retreats, and exhortations to stand firm. Instead, it wounds us with cuts too small to see. In this, our wired wilderness, we play and work in deserts of the digital, abuzz with locust noise of clicks and tweets, and filled with lonely crowds. Our enemy is faced and fought right here. Always during Lent, we sing, "A mighty fortress is our God," not just on Reformation Day. Remember that verse? "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us, though this world's prince scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. One little word can fell him." Does anybody know what that word is? We've sung it all these years. I didn't know till this year myself, so don't feel bad if you don't know. It reminds me of one of my favorite Luther stories. He woke up at the middle of the night and thought he saw the devil at the end of his bed. And he looked at him and he said, "Oh, just you," and went back to sleep. That one little word is boo. That's all we have to do to say to the devil. Because he's afraid of grace. And that's the final poem I want to close with tonight. Grace is a dirty word. The devil, he hates it, for there isn't any room in his plans for it to fit. He knows it gives power to those who are weak. He knows God's mercy is not just for the meek. He hates the gospel of faith through grace. He despises the fact this truth we embrace. He detests the control grace bestows on us. It picks him to know in God we put our trust. Grace is a dirty word the devil knows so well that those who have it won't be joining him in hell. Thank you, O Lord, for that one little word that fails the devil. And true, to be sure, we continue to be tempted, but we cannot be overpowered because your word is with us. That's why we like the song so much. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
O God of wilderness and water, your Son was baptized and tempted as we are. Guide us through this season, that we may not avoid struggle, but open ourselves to blessing through the cleansing depths of repentance and the heaven-rending words of the Spirit. Fill us with your strength to resist the seductions of your foolish desires and the tempter's vain delights, that we may walk in obedience and righteousness, rejoicing in you with an upright heart. God of mercy, your word was the sure defense of Jesus in his time of testing. Minister to us in the wilderness of our temptation, that we who have been set free from sin by Christ may serve you well into life everlasting. Amen.
In our special prayers this evening, first of all, a prayer of thanksgiving. I don't think we have anyone in the hospital at this time, but I want to direct your attention to the continuing prayer concerns list in the bulletin, several who are sick and suffering. Let us pray. O great physician, we thank you for the gift of health and wholeness, and especially we pray for those we know and all known to you who are sick and suffering, that you would heal them according to your good and gracious will, and in the meantime, give them patience, faith, and hope. Lord, in your mercy. We're praying especially tonight with great thanksgiving for all those people, and I know some of you are here tonight instead of Sunday morning when you usually worship, so you can make the chicken dinner all that it usually is, and so let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for the gifts of your providence, food, and friends, and so many who work together with thanksgiving for all of your blessings to us. Thank you for your blessing over this occasion, especially as we celebrate the gift of each other. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we're continuing to thank God for the gift of St. Mark's Lutheran School. Tomorrow, the preschool through second grade cherubs will be singing for us in worship, and you can also see that on the school's Facebook page if you want. I saw it yesterday and it had me dancing the rest of the day, so let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for the gifts of children and for your word, which reminds us that we enter heaven when we become like children. So give us that childlike faith renewed in our hearts, and help us to always trust that you hold us in the palm of your hand. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you would have us ask, O Lord, we bring with confidence, knowing you hear us and will give us whatever is best for us and your kingdom.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. Blessed are you, Heavenly Father and King eternal, the glorious conqueror and our victorious Lord. Strengthen us that we may live without fear, confidently resist temptation, and share your blessing through acts of mercy. Support us in this life and bring us at last to the unending feast in your eternal kingdom, where you live and reign with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings. Bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings your refuge, his faithfulness your shield, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings. Shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come, and to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun.